SBS Radio. Hi, Sean.
How you doing, Amit?
I'm good, thanks. Before we talk about your adventures and travel, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I've been in Australia for 6 years. My whole family immigrated over a period of 30 years, and I was the last one to come. And I wanted to stay in Africa because of my passion and love for the bush. And I was doing safari, so it was what I loved. So I eventually, 6 years ago, left it to come and be with my family in Australia. And then my dream was to escort safaris from Australia back to Southern Africa.
So obviously you have a passion, and the distance from Australia didn't stop you for keep doing it. Tell us, what does a ranger do, and can anyone become one?
Well, look, you've got to obviously go through the training, and you can use it for various things. You can either be stationed in a national park and do either game drives, including night drives, or you can do bushwalks, mm-hmm. or you can help with maintenance of the fences, or if an animal is injured from a human, not from another animal, you would intervene. And obviously dealing a lot with the public, because the public that come in, it's very important to be able to show and explain to them about the wild so they get a better understanding. Mm-hmm. But I decided to use my training to do like safari guiding, because I didn't want to be based just in one place, in one national park or one game reserve. So I chose to do safari guiding so I could go in and out of Botswana, where the Chobe is, South Africa, where the Kruger Park is, and Cape Town, Zambia and Zimbabwe for the Vic 4. So I used it for a little bit different, for like a traveling, I suppose, a safari ranger, and to fully escort the tours through these different areas, which I've got a lot of experience in.
Seems like you traveled quite a lot and you know the South African continent very well. Which countries have you visited?
Yeah, well, I've been to South Africa, I've been to Swaziland, I've been to Lesotho, I've been to Namibia, I've been to Botswana, I've been to Zimbabwe, Zambia, Tanzania, and the island of Zanzibar, just off the coast of Tanzania.
The first thing that comes to my mind when you mention these countries is desert, sands, and lots of mountains with lots and lots of wildlife. Is it true?
It's a whole mixture. Namibia is mainly desert, and Chobe, and that, you know, because of the large elephant populations, there's quite a lot of deforestation. Deforestations mean when there's a lot of elephant, they just break up the bush and that, and they just destroy the area, which is a problem. But the areas I've gone to, you know, in Itosha, like a white sand desert, and the Kalahari, which is called the Kahadi Khadi Transfrontier, is like a red desert. And then the Kruger Park itself is amazing because it's got so many different habitats. It's got mountains in the south. It's got big flat open areas like in the Serengeti in the center. It's got forests up in the north. It's got like mixed woodlands in some other areas. So there's so many different habitats in the Kruger Park. That's why it's got so many different mammals. And that's why it's one of my favorites. And then Wangi in Zimbabwe, Chobe in Botswana, as I mentioned, and then obviously the Victoria Falls in shared between Zimbabwe and Zambia, the same way Niagara Falls are shared between Canada and the United States.
Tell us a bit on how your day begins in the safari, and what type of things do you do while on a tour?
When we're in the bush areas, obviously not at the Victoria Falls, we would get up early in the morning. If we in Botswana, you'd get up early in the morning. We stay in the Chobe area. The town's called Kasani, and the river that the hotels are built on is called Chobe. And that's got one of the biggest elephant populations in the world. And what we do is we wake up in the morning, 5:30, 6, just depending on the time of the year, and we'll do an early morning game drive. There'll be coffee and biscuits before the drive. And then you'll go in open jeeps into the reserve for about three and a half hours. It's never a set time because you don't know what you're going to see. And then you come back, and you would relax at the lodge, and then you would have time to be able to, because the lodges themselves are beautiful, and the property as well, there are monkeys, and a lot of those lodges in Chobe are built on the river. So you're sitting from your porch, you can see fish eagles and crocodiles and hippos. So it's just amazing. And then in the afternoon, you would do a sunset cruise, where you go on this boat on the Chobe River and you just watch how the sun sets and how you get so close to crocodiles and hippos and the different bird life. It's just, it's phenomenal. And the late afternoon's the best time, especially for your predators, lion, leopard, cheetah, you know, wild dog and that, because it's cool. And in the heat of the day, like anyone, they would rest up and go further back into the bush.
I remember now watching the National Geographic's channel. It's very pretty, or at least the way they show it on TV. Is it really like that?
It's exactly like it. Even when I've been in some of these places, I've seen some of film crews from National Geographic actually doing some filming. So it's exactly like you see that. The only problem is what a lot of people don't understand is National Geographic or a lot of wildlife documentaries can take 1, 2, 3, who knows, a good couple of years to do. And they sit for hours on end, day after day in the bush, because it's not a zoo, you know, it's nature, it's completely natural. So a lot of people think if they come on a 10-day or 2-week safari, they're going to see everything, because in an hour and a half or an hour's documentary, you're seeing lions and leopards and that. But those documentaries, as I said, take years to make, and you have to be patient with wildlife. There's no guarantee, but I think it's the unpredictability about what you're going to see on each drive that makes it so exciting and such an adventure, because you never know. You could come out of a camp and drive for 5 minutes and suddenly there's a leopard on the road, and you can drive for a day and see nothing, and you could drive half the day, see nothing, and you go for lunch. And it happened to me. I was with a group of guests. We hadn't seen much during the morning. We had breakfast. We didn't see much after breakfast. We stopped somewhere for lunch. And as we got back into the vehicle after our lunch, we came to a T-junction in the road. And there were two cheetahs standing in the middle of the T-junction. Now, in the Greater Kruger National Park, there's about 200 plus minus cheetahs. So to be able to see that is mind-blowing. And again, you're not guaranteed. Everyone was a bit down. They hadn't seen much. And the next thing, cheetah in front of the car. So this is what makes it so exciting. You just never know what's around the next corner. One thing of advice I can always give people is never go with a big checklist and a pen and a paper and that, because it's not a zoo. It's whatever you see, you take for a granted. You mustn't take what you see for granted. And there's so many different things, whether it's the birds or the fish or some of the rock formations or the habitats or the sunrise or the sunset. There's just so much to see that it's an experience in itself.
Which will bring me to my next question. Is there any danger when you see an animal in front of you, a lion or an elephant or even a snake? After all, it's not a controlled zoo.
I've been around lions. I've been with elephants surrounding my vehicle. I've had snakes and I've never ever actually been bitten or have a thing. If you generally, obviously there's always an exception to the rule, but if you generally show the animals respect, a thing called a comfort zone, if you in a vehicle and you see there's a lot of elephants, especially with babies, you need to back up and give them space to say, I respect you, I'm just giving you, I would just like to look. But unfortunately, a lot of people will encroach or push the boundaries, and that's usually when incidents happen, because the animals aren't out to kill you. They don't want to eat people. It's not part of their diet. And to bite a car or to eat the tires is not tasty. It's hard. It's not part of what they're meant to eat. So I found in my entire life of always being in the bush, I've never been scratched or bitten by anything. The only thing I've ever been bitten by is a mosquito.
So for who is this type of trip really good for?
Kids and that under 12, 14, I wouldn't recommend it, because some of the areas, obviously, you're going to be doing long drives. And to sit in the car for long periods of time, I think the kids could get a bit frustrated in that. But most of the people I took were, I would say, from their 40s upwards. But I also took young families. I took midwives from London. They were all in their 20s. I took a group of teenagers from New York. They were also late teenagers. I think they were 18 or 20. So generally, I would say there's no hard and fast rule, but from 20 up to 60, 70. I took a couple in their late 70s from Monsey in New York, and they absolutely loved it. So there's no really hard and fast rule. Whoever is coming has just got to be aware that there could be long periods of time in the vehicle. You're obviously not going to see things the whole time because it's not a zoo. And some of the areas you go to, the Victoria Falls can be a bit slippery. There's lots of walking. So if you're generally pretty fit, you don't have to be an athlete or that. If you're generally pretty fit, there's no real major age gap between, you know, 20 to 60, 70. You get very young 70-year-olds that could put, you know, the 50 and 60-year-olds to shame.
Sounds exciting. Can't wait to pack my bags and visit this exciting continent. Sean Rubenstein, a ranger and a tour guide from South Africa, currently living in Melbourne. Thank you so much for the info. It was lovely to chat.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.